All right. Now, to have a business, there's two things that you need. One is a product, and the other is having customers. And hopefully you've got some clues already today from ways to go about that. But we've got another angle that we're going to look at in greater detail that's already been mentioned today. And we have a guest speaker from over on the right-hand side of the room, Ken Bree. And Bree is going to share with us her Facebook strategy and other strategies probably too as well, I think. And I think we're going to really get a lot from that. So would you like to welcome Bree?
My marketing plan in the beginning was just give it a go and see what works. But now we've been doing it for about a year. We've been able to test and see what works and what doesn't work. And so I'm here just to share a little bit of that with you. Do I need a button thing?
I've got a button thing I can make in this, but it's got to be plugged into your computer.
Oh, is that what we're going on?
So it's a difficult little one.
Place to start is identifying your target market, which I hope at this point most of us have had to think about or had a plan or have sat down and really thought where we'd like to target or where we'd like to work. Mine's pretty broad because there's quite a lot that we do. We don't just mentor people with spending, we actually do property as well. So, you know, the way my philosophy is almost anyone can do this, and even with the spending plan, if they're not quite ready to do property yet, they're ready to start saving to get into property or start thinking about it. So our age group's pretty broad, our income's pretty broad. Target location, that's pretty broad.
Yeah.
It's because we've got a little bit of a team going now. Mostly we've dealt with Australia. I've got some contacts in New Zealand and we'll be doing property in New Zealand soon, so we're going to be moving that market up. We've been speaking to financial planners over there and things like that, so I anticipate that we'll have some clients in New Zealand soon. We already do currently have one. And the US, one of my spending mentors that's just going to be signing up soon, she's got a lot of contacts in the US, so we're going to head out into that direction as well. Now, our Facebook page, for a long time I tried to keep me and my face out of it just because I didn't want to be on the advertising. And everybody throughout the year kept saying, make it more personal, put more pictures of yourself, tell more stories of yourself. And I started telling more stories of myself and we got a great reaction. So I thought, I can't keep ignoring this, I'm going to have to put more of myself in the picture. That's me with the long blonde hair. No. I am getting professional photos done. I did get some done, but they turned out like that and I didn't like it too much. So we're getting some professional photos done and that will be upgraded with more of us and us throughout our advertising. And I think with Facebook, the reason that resonates with people so much is because people don't come on Facebook to be marketed to. So if you have a logo as your profile, you're marketing. Whereas if you've got your personal pictures up and things that are friendly and fun and talk about you and how your family manages with money and all that kind of stuff, people really respond better because it's a real person. It's not just them being sold or something. This is one of my ones that I think might be on the resource or might have been in something that I was talking about this year, that we didn't really think that this would get much of a reaction. I was just loading my boot up with all of our shopping. I shop once a month. And I looked at it and I went, that's pretty impressive. That's a lot of food. And so I took a photo and I just put a post up on Facebook and said, I feed a family of seven for under $800 per month. And it blew up. People started sharing it, asking us questions, asking for more information. And we didn't have more information. We didn't expect a reaction. And so we had to come up with something to give these people so that they wanted more. And so we gave them our shopping list and our dinner calendar, something else, another tool that I'd created. And people started to use that. We got feedback and it started to become a bit of a thing with our company. And now it's something we use as part of our marketing all the time. Now, there's so many social media outlets out there. What I really wanted to focus on with everybody here is we can get so distracted by trying to be on everything and trying to be everywhere at once and trying to keep them all updated and all on the same page and all on the same message and all of that kind of stuff. Whereas if you just sort of pick one or two and really focus in that area and do it well, you'll get a hell of a lot more of a reaction than trying to be everywhere all the time. You'll get distracted by too many ways to advertise. We're about to start webinars. We're not quite there yet, but we're in the process of building our webinars. I'm still to decide whether I want to do live or if I want to do pre-recorded. We'll probably start with live and then record that and then add it to pre-recorded. But the idea is that we're going to have quite a few spending mentors soon. So we want to be able to bring in business without us having to run too many live events. We do about maybe 6, 7, 8 a year live events where I fly down to Sydney or I fly to New Zealand or I have one here in Brisbane or Melbourne. But to save on that travel and the cost and all those kinds of things, we're hoping that these webinars will run through and bring in business without us having to do a lot. With webinars, is anyone too familiar with them or have you ever experimented, tried them, been on one? Yeah, you can make them pretty interactive. So there's a few different ways that you can do it. People can chat live through the webinar with whoever's talking. You could run polls before, after, and even while the webinar's running. Call to action. I think that's a must. Why have a webinar if you're not going to have a call to action after it? Call to action is something like register here for an event or book here for an appointment or just inviting them to do something or click here to receive something free. They're making people interact even more. Surveys, Twitter, you can have some of the feed running through Twitter at the same time. I'm not sure what exam module is, but it was in that same package. Somebody else might know. okay, so the basis of a webinar, whenever you're doing it, is really just to think, if we're going to ask somebody to sit there and listen to us or interact with us for half an hour, what's in it for them? What are they going to get out of it? So this webinar has to have high value, good content, or you're going to lose your audience or just make them mad that you wasted their time. So make sure that you're offering something that's of value, something that you maybe would normally charge for, or something that they're going to see as good value. Promotion and planning. Sorry, Carolyn, it's a bit full. I will thin it, but I couldn't spread it out even more. okay, so this is our promotional planning action plan. We're planning to publish teasers on social media. We want a 30-day series of one-minute videos. We're hoping to make 6 series along that line and then eventually have it as part of our private access on our website where people who are clients of ours can only access these videos eventually, but in the beginning we're going to put them out. That might mean that they're out forever. I don't know how that works. It could be out on YouTube forever, but either way, it'll get out there and it'll expose us. The webinars, we're going to go live on Facebook. So something I've avoided for a while. I see lots of people do it. Some do it well, some not so well. and so I avoid it like the plague, but at some point I'm going to have to stop putting that off and just jump in. It might be on one of those things that terrify me that day list. and it's not that I'm afraid to talk to people. It's just that I like the sound of my own voice. I may never get off once I start. Okay, so I started a blog. The success is good and bad sometimes. She's sometimes motivated and sometimes not, but she's based on commission, so it doesn't really bother me if she does it or not. But she basically does a blog. She was meant to do it once a month. So far she's done it once every 3 months. But there's tips on saving. They're quirky, her writing is really good. It's about things, and at the end of it she does have a call to action or a way for the clients to get discounts or find discounts online. And she does lots of little things that are fun. It doesn't cost me anything. It's good information that we're putting out there, and it doesn't take any of my time. So the way that she gets paid is if anyone contacts us because of her blog or likes our page or anything like that, if we convert any sales based on what she's done, the work she's done, she'll get paid $100. If nothing comes of it, she gets paid nothing. So it's in her best interest to make it really interesting and get it interactive and get her getting people talking to us about things. In January, we're planning to do refer a friend, get $100 off. It's just a bit of a Christmas is over, let's get back to it type of promotion. April, best money saving ideas to get free movie tickets. So we're gonna ask them to give us money saving ideas, and best one will get movie tickets. October, we're gonna have 100 tips for saving money, and they'll get a free copy of that when they sign up. Ask your friends to like and share your pages. You guys have already touched on it a little bit. The more exposure, the more interaction your post gets, the more it gets fed out through Facebook. The same sort of thing goes when you're going live. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but somebody that you didn't even know was your friend, the minute they go live, they're live on your feed and you get harassed with notifications saying that they're live. It pushes you out. I don't know if it's because Facebook want to promote this live, but it does. It forces you into other people's feeds that you wouldn't normally get or interact with too often. So it's a good way to be visible. Okay, so we have Q&A nights, or information nights, whatever we feel like calling it that week. We probably should stick to one. But the reason why we do this isn't because we want to fill a room full of 100 people or anything like that. I found that if I just wait for people to say, oh, Brie, when are you down in Sydney next? And then I book my appointments and I book my flight and I fly down there, I get maybe one or two people interested. Whereas if I put out on Facebook that I'll be in Sydney for 2 days only, who wants to come and see me? All the people who've been thinking about seeing me or thinking about contacting me, they now have a deadline to act. And they all contact me and they all book me out and I'm full and I'm busy and I'm running around like a crazy person for 2 days and then I come home and just crash for a minute. But it gives them a deadline and then I spend the next week or two following all those up and wrapping them up. So just giving somebody a deadline, making it now or never, or what I also get from that is people who can't see me for those 2 days that I'm down, I don't try to make myself too available, is they then say, oh, I need to make an appointment with you right now. I can't see you when I'm down, I need to make an appointment. So we do Zoom appointments off those as well. Review and measure results. What's the point in putting all this time, effort, and energy into all of this advertising and marketing if you're not even going to keep track of what's working? Sometimes if something receives no reaction, don't just try harder. Try a new direction or a new idea, or ask for help. We've got a room full of spending planners here, and we're all trying to do the same thing. Something works for you that might not work for them, but you guys can swap and share ideas. Talk to people around you, people who have businesses. If you're on Facebook and you see somebody's ad that you like, try to contact them and see how they thought that up and how they came about that process and how they set it up. Ask lots of questions and just keep trying to learn. Sometimes, no reaction, again this has been touched on again a few times today, doesn't mean that it failed and it wasn't a good ad or a good promotion. I can't count how many times I've had no reaction, not even a like, and then I'll be out in public and four or five people will say, oh, you posted about this, what was that about? And they don't even really remember what the post was about, but it was interesting enough to make them think of you and that money or property or whatever it was, and they'll start that conversation with you. Like Sam was saying, when they're asking you questions, the job is so much easier. When you're asking them or trying to push information on them, they're back right off. And so, yeah, they're opening up the conversation with you, which makes it all much easier. Did I talk really fast and now I'm at the end of this with nowhere else to go? I tend to talk fast and I apologise to people when I talk fast, but I do that. How much longer do I have, guys? I will open up for questions because I know you guys are good at that.
About 20.
Tomorrow's going to be interesting. I've got the same time room. Okay. So, a lot of what we do with marketing is trial and error, even now. But if you've watched any of those, you know, big company movies or whatever, you'll even see that big businesses are still doing trial and error. And even people who pay thousands of dollars for marketing campaigns are trial and error. So don't beat yourself up if no likes come. Don't beat yourself up if no one messages you. Sometimes I'll just get on Facebook and start a random conversation with somebody. Just somebody I haven't seen in a long time. How are you going? If the conversation leads towards what I do and how I do it, great. If not, great. I've caught up with somebody I hadn't spoken to in a long time. Sometimes it'll be, oh, a friend of mine was mentioning you the other day, and it goes into it from that sort of direction. But, yeah.
What sort of system are you using to track your
You'll find a lot of you'll find a lot of the Facebook, whatever you put on Facebook, already has tracking and results. We're using Infusionsoft. I didn't want to talk about it to the group at large because not a lot of people do Infusionsoft. But when we put up our register for an event, it's kind of like Eventbrite. I think even Eventbrite can do that. They measure your results and check your interaction as well. But we get views when people click it, and we can see all of that and see how it's flowing.
Are you writing it all down? You've got a sort of place that you're collating it all and comparing, okay, well, this is who we actually getting on Facebook compared to YouTube or whatever. Tracking it over time?
I learned a long time ago that I get about 90% of what we do from Facebook, and so I never really bothered too much with Twitter or Snapchat or any of that. YouTube is one area that I would like to push it out a bit more because I've seen a few companies' videos and just got hooked on Facebook and watched all of their videos from there and then gone to find their website and research in that way. So I'd probably like to focus on YouTube a little bit more and just doing more video type things. I don't spend a lot of time tracking it. Really with the Facebook ones, I go and check how many likes or I go and see how it's dropped off and what days it dropped off. I try to pay attention to what days get good reactions and what days don't. Typically Tuesday at 11 o'clock seems to be everybody's on and bored.
Daytime or nighttime?
Sorry?
Daytime or nighttime?
In the day, yeah. So they've checked all their emails on Monday and they've been busy and they've caught up on all their work from the weekend and then 11 o'clock they're ready to doze off at work so they get on Facebook.
So that would be a good time to call for referral partners too.
Referral partners, maybe, yeah. Don't call lawyers at that time. They shut from 11 till 2 every day. But you guys probably don't have conveyances calling.
Can I just make a suggestion? If you don't have a way of tracking your ads, Bigly is a really good way of being able to track.
Yeah, of course.
It's an app. It's a website. If you have a link that you've made for something, you can just put it into Bigly and it gives you a little link. You use that link on your Facebook post and when people click on it, it records how many clicks, how many interactions and stuff like that. So you don't have to have something like
that. URL, sure.
Essentially, yeah.
That's cool. Has anyone else got any questions about marketing or what they've tried and not tried?
Just having your blogger.
Yep.
That's her full-time job, but not just thinking about your blog for like other businesses as well, and then do her blogs end up on your website or where did that?
So I set up a Facebook page, and she posts her blogs on that Facebook page. So she has total access to it, and she blogs up there. It's not advertised as Handy Investor. It's we've distanced ourselves from it. It's just most of her blogs have something that calls to action to our company. Or links into our company somehow. So most people don't even know it from us or know that we're putting it up or sharing it or anything like that. It's all on her to generate, and get results for us. We do a lot of things like that, like with the mentors that I'm bringing in. I've been asking them the last few months before they even became mentors, anytime I post something to share it and get it out there and start to get more reaction and focus, because the same thing will happen with them. When they're out and about, people will ask them lots of questions about who's this lady you keep posting about, and what's this new thing that you're doing? So we've been getting them out to share as well.
I've got a question, I don't know how relevant it is, but it is still a mapping. But I've been sitting on it for 12 months, so it's from last conference.
Pressure to know the answer.
Last conference, you said that you had a sales employee who was taking all of the calls for you.
Yep.
And when you first started with him, he changed them all, and then you made some tweaks, and the results improved.
Yeah.
The tweak was
I got rid of him and I made the calls.
Oh!
Look, it was trial and error. We really didn't know where to start or how to get people's interaction. So when we're talking on a call, we see the script, but I've never been good at scripts or reading or following scripts because I sound like a robot. And half the time I'm just trying to remember what to say. And so it took a little while for me to find that natural flow. What I would say, what I would want to hear, how I would want to hear it. Most of the time I'm reading the clients, and the way they react is how I react. So every client I talk to will be slightly different, but it will all lead back to the same thing. And so just took a bit of time to find out a rhythm in those scripts that are my scripts in my head now. But that's how we solved that problem, stopped the drain. And that's when we decided to go commission only forever, because an employee gets comfortable on a wage, whereas if they're commission only, they don't get paid unless they work. So.
Your target market's quite broad.
Yep.
What would you say your client base demographics would be compared to your target?
We have 25-year-olds and we have 50-year-olds.
So
you've even got 60-year-olds.
So your client is matching pretty much.
Yeah.
You haven't actually identified a stronger area at this point?
Probably around the 35 mark. It's where they get to the point where they're not going out and partying and stuff like that, and life gets serious and bills get serious and kids get serious and stuff like that. So, around the 30, 35. We get some that are younger married couples with younger kids. But we find that they're very distracted and they don't focus so much and they take a lot more of our time because they're this and don't have time and don't have time, not wise enough to make time for the things that matter. There's a little bit of that. So although we say 25, we do have quite a few 25s. Our goal would mostly be about 30, 35, maybe a bit more serious.
Sorry, Jordan, another question. Are your associate planners commission-based too?
Yeah.
Entirely?
Yes. I have no employees.
How does that work?
They get paid per client they manage.
You still bring in the clients, but they manage.
The sometimes. Clients. Yeah. Yeah, so the more mentors I have, the less I can bring it in for everybody. And so it's now becoming more a part of what they're doing and they're promoting and things. I don't know if it's relevant to marketing, but it's something that we're starting to do. I'm letting people know, and this isn't just even my mentors, but I'm letting people know that if they want to run an information night, I'll pay for the hall, I'll pay for the food, I'll turn up and I'll present, but they're in charge of getting people there. And they get paid a commission per sign up on the night. And if it's a follow up, they get paid a little bit less commission, but if it's sign up on the night, they get paid commission. So I'm getting other people to start to organise those information nights.
As a marketing thing, that is an idea that I have done with the same as the Tupperware type sort of thing, you know, have a budgeting party thing, because, you know, people, you know, you bring your friend, like you said, why do one-on-one customer when you have three or four people?
So we do that also.
Yeah.
We don't call it a party as such,
but
I have certain clients that, like Caroline's clients, are big fans, and they'll organise for four or five people, sometimes six, seven people to come over on a night and I'll present. I'll just hook up my laptop to their TV and take over and present for the night, and we'll organise appointments for after that. Or I just have one person who goes, my whole family would need to see this. Can you come and meet with my whole family? One time I was under a carport and they had chairs everywhere, and I just turned up and went, what the heck is this? There's so many people. So I throw it in there sometimes if I feel like they're that type of person that would invite others. I'd sort of say, look, if you wanted to invite anybody else, feel free, let them know that we'll be here on this day, this time, if you're happy to have it at your house, and sometimes they go, no, I'd rather them not know my financial circumstance, and then others are just like, yeah, look, I know so many people could benefit from this, so I just put it out there and see what reaction I get, and it's usually been good.
The one you had up about the 2007 with your people for love.
Yeah.
So did you get referrals and people out of that?
Yeah, people who signed up off that.
Wow.
What I find from most of my marketing on Facebook is not that I get a huge like, share, react, and all that kind of interaction. I get a lot of private messaging. I get a lot of people messaging me behind the scenes, and a lot of the time they have no clue as to what I do. They're just messaging me because they know it's something to do with property or something to do with money management. They're like, so what is that you do? So they're not really reading my ad, but they're putting two and two together at some point that that's what we're doing and that's why we're doing it. And so that private messaging, so I'll literally be open. If you walk into my office at any given time, I've got three computer screens and one's always open on Facebook with seven or eight chats happening at once. That's just the way my brain works. I can be answering an email, answer a chat, do another email, whatever it is that we're doing. So yeah, a lot of private messaging, private chats that usually come from that. Most of the time they contact me, but at first I was just contacting random people. But now I get, because I've been known and out there for quite some time, it's probably been with real estate, probably been about 4 or 5 years, and we're spending only a year now. People literally just contact me once or twice a week. So something that I learned in real estate is in the first year, it's really, really hard work and you've got to work really hard for those leads and generation and all that kind of stuff. In the second year, it's a little bit easier, but it's still hard work. If you survive 2 years, it usually gets pretty cushy after that. And I've sort of found the same sort of thing with spending money. Once people get the idea that that's what we do and that's how we do it, the leads are just coming in now a little bit more easily and giving me more time to do other things.
Can I add a few, just because I've got to admit, and you guys have seen me post on Facebook, I am such a Facebook
guru.
That's not the word I was going to use. Novice is the word I was thinking. So I kind of sitting up the back there listening and I'm thinking, if I was starting, this all sounds really interesting and exciting. But apart from the fact that I've got two Facebook accounts, which is actually probably the most confusing thing, because I tried to have a personal one and everybody found me, so then I thought, okay, I'll start another one that I'll hide behind, and then that got found, and so I've just got these two accounts. But every one of us has probably got different levels of expertise on Facebook, and some of us have had a little bit of success at doing something, and somebody else has had it. Now, we've all got little wins, maybe, and little snippets of information that collectively put them all together, it would be really brilliant. But Bree's kind of, I mean, that the photo of the back of your car, it was an accidental stroke of genius, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we've led into that with other things now. We don't just do about my boot and all that kind of stuff. We think about things that people struggle with daily, like how to reduce costs in shopping and that kind of stuff. But just things that are going to bring relief to families in general, they're always interested. There's right. Always many people asking.
So I guess the real secret to having that success, because any one of us could go and take a photo of some groceries in our boot now that we've seen that idea. But how did you make that work when if I could go and take a photo of my boot with some groceries in it, probably would fall very flat on its face. So
it was what, yeah, I think mostly it was what it was that it was me. People know I have lots of kids and they know I have lots of houses. And they're like, how does she have so many houses when she's got so many kids? I think that was maybe the correlation.
Right. Have you got lots of likers on your Facebook page?
I've got over 1,000, yeah.
Okay, so then...
Well, not on a Facebook page, on my personal thing, I've got over 1,000 friends. So the visibility is quite high. But my page only has about 250 likes. I know there's heaps of people that are way better than that, so...
So for somebody like me who's a Facebook, what do you call me?
Novice.
I wasn't nerd, novice. I've got this idea, okay, I'm going to try and crack the Facebook equation and get some attention.
Yep.
What? Give me some really basic, powerful stuff. I've got family and a few friends on my Facebook page that have liked me or their friends.
Yep.
What do I do?
I think if there's something that you do really well, if there's something that you're known for and you do really well, other people are really interested to know how you do that so well. So however the world sees you, however the world in some way looks up to you, I'm sure they do, find that because people will want to know more about that. That's interesting to people. It's not just, I can do this and I can do that. It's, I really excel in this area, and anyone who struggles in that area is going to want more information about that. and it's you personally, and so they will come to you because it's personal, and it's something that they need, it's something that they want, and it's something that maybe they've sat back and admired you for, or something like that along the way. I think that really was why it could have been a boot of anyone's groceries, and it probably wouldn't have had that reaction. It was just that it was personal.
And you were actually, what you were talking about was a lot less than the average person is being.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Somebody posted a video that said something about they feed their family for $50 a week. And this is less with a lot more people. Like, it's like half that. And they were on a current affair for it. And so to see that, they were like, wait a minute. You know, like, that's really good. I spend that in a week. It was a lot of the reaction that we got. Yeah. We had one couple that said they spent about $600 on McDonald's a week.
Has budgeting always come naturally to you, right?
No, not to me. Well, when I say that, I always wrote out a budget at the beginning of the year and I never looked at it for 12 months. Something about the way my brain works. I just had to physically see it and I remember what we could and couldn't do and keep it in check. But having no money is something that was very common to me. I got married a month after I turned 18. I had three kids by the time I was 21. And my husband was not a factory worker for 15 years, which meant that he was going to be an NRL star. He just worked in factories until he was an NRL star. He never went permanent anywhere because he was just doing this until he became a star, which means we could never have paid holidays. We could never get any sick leave. We were probably only earning around $30,000 to $40,000 a year with three small kids at the time. And so living within a budget, I made that shopping list and dinner calendar and that out of necessity. It wasn't that I did it for fun because I was bored, or I did it because I knew clients. I actually did probably that about 3 years ago. I created it before I even became a spending planner or had anything to do with this. It was that he was going to be a stay-at-home dad for the first time ever. And I thought, I'm going to teach him how to do it all right, and he's going to follow exactly what I tell him. And I did a complete shopping list with itemized pricing and how many we buy of everything, a dinner calendar that matched that I printed up, put up on the whiteboard for the copy. He didn't look at it once. He didn't use it once. But it was lucky that we had it when we put that post up, because then we had something to give to people. But struggling with money, going to the shops and feeling sick about buying something for me. I could buy for anybody else, but buying something for me, I'd feel sick. That's something I'm really familiar with. And so when I learned about this kind of stuff, I thought, I know how to do it, but I don't know how to teach people how to do it. And so teaching people how to do it became really important.
Yeah. All right. Somebody made a comment earlier that there's 30 people in the room and we've all got Facebook pages. We should all be doing something collectively to boost all of our Facebook things.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how we can do that before?
Well, I've liked a lot of your pages. If I see them, if you invite me to like them, I like them, which means that things will sometimes show up on my timeline if you're posting and you tag me in it. Feel free to tag me in things. That's cool too. I have over 1,000 friends, so I'm good to tag, and they'll all see my stuff and your stuff. I don't think there's any competition with any of us. And that's why I share all of my marketing, I share all of my what I did and how it works so freely, even how I run my spending mentors, I share all of that, because there's enough for everybody. Everybody just needs as much help as they can. So feel free to tag each other, or get permission from each other, but tag each other, invite each other to like your pages, share each other's feeds, share the Institute's feeds. The more exposure we get.
Do we all need a list of names so that we all know is that a thing?
I've started a list. I've got a Queensland list with names and their Facebook pages.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of people seem to find me, so I just accept and like that.
The other important thing is to join as many Facebook groups as you can. Join your community groups, you know, and post within your community groups. Because that's who you want to deal with, is people that are like.
Don't just post on those community groups, post value.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, interact and be on there and be seen. On your community groups, because that's where people go looking for things that they're looking for, is a lot of their local community groups.
Yeah.
The other thing, when we're saying posting stuff, I've been doing a lot of bringing about this sort of stuff. But one of the things I noticed that a lot of people do on Facebook pages, not necessarily spending planners,
is I do a lot of reposting of somebody else's stuff with only maybe a very one line at the top.
Yeah.
If I do repost somebody else's stuff, I actually make sure that I give a decent length comment about why. What I'm seeing in that article that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I try to not do two in a row that are somebody that are
sometimes
I necessarily done that.
Yeah.
But try to do my own stuff so that you're actually giving people
why
they want to
valuable.
See that you're as the expert.
Yeah, why you think it's valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somebody else.
Can I just make a point on that too? Everyone's gotta be careful on Facebook, because if you start posting too much of other people's stuff and not your own stuff, they will shut down or block you, and then they don't send it to anybody, and you just don't even know
what's
happening. You've got to be really careful that you are posting some genuine stuff that you've written yourself.
Yeah.
And not just ads.
Yeah, I just meant when you personal online, not through your page or anything like that.
Sorry. I've got a personal Facebook page, but how do you set up a business page?
I can show you. I've got my laptop here. I can show you as a break if you like.
Me?
Do you want to do it?
Yeah. Oh, not really. I'm 60.
You've got two accounts.
We're going to take 5 minutes while we're just turning it over. Have a breather, stand up, fluff your cushions. Thank you so much, Bree. Bree is actually coming back tomorrow to talk on another topic as well, which... have a little break on the tango. I know.